Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get to 7-0. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
What you would call a pregnant pause there. Fourth and final hour, Felger Maz with Chris Gasper, in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Just here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The simulcast is done. They've gone and done their own thing for the 5 o'clock hour. There's Celtics action tonight, huh? Is that what's
correct, yeah. Pre-game at, I don't know when the pre-game starts, but 7 o'clock they take on the Magic.
And we're carrying here on the 95.
Yep.
Okay, so we got Celtics action as well. So that's what's going on. We'll take your calls the final hour. Gasper giving us another segment because he was late. He was again at the Nordstrom Rack.
I was not at Nordstrom Rack.
Is that beneath you?
No, it's not. No, I love Nordstrom Rack. It's a great store.
Oh, he was at Neiman Marcus.
I was not. No, I was in my car stuck in traffic.
Yeah, okay.
Monsoon.
Yeah. And your cashmere socks.
We continue with your thoughts. Steve in the car. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm calling about the Patriots offense. I don't think you can make excuses for Brady because, number one, you guys said it all along. Get your behind in camp. Start working with these new receivers, especially if you know you're not going to have the top-notch receivers you expect to get. And also, the play calling. I mean, how are you going to run a sweep on the short side of the field when you need like a yard and a half? I mean, that has to change. You can't get away with that in the NFL.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the call. That was James White there in late in the third quarter, I think, or maybe fourth quarter even, on third and short.
Yeah, they were going left to right. I mean. Yeah,
was he talking about the direct snap?
Nope, it was a pitch play.
Pitch play?
It was a sweep.
Oh, the little like touch pass forward?
Nope. So we had two big beefs. One was the second shovel pass forward.
Okay.
Okay. So we went to the well once too often. The first time it worked, he got down to the 1-inch line.
Okay.
Then he tried it again on third down. Then that set up Dingleberry's miss there off the upright. And then that it was the fourth quarter that it was third and two, and they did a pitch to White. Unless it was a direct snap. And did I miss that?
No.
That was a pitch.
Third and three at the Giants 30. White left for minus two.
It's a sweep. So how'd you feel about Josh McDaniels last night there, Chris?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, second week in a row, I didn't love the game plan. They came out in sort of heavier personnel, tight formations. I think they maybe thought the weather was going to be a bigger factor, but you're going against the 28th pass defense in the league. I think you want to spread them out and throw it. And again, they came out in sort of these tighter formations, and that was what they were trying to do early. And I know they're trying to establish the run and build off the momentum they had against Washington, but really that Washington game, the second half of that game, is really the only time they've been able to run the football. So once again, I was not a huge fan of the game plan. I thought it contributed to their slow start.
Jaguar is in the car. Yes, Jaguar.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What do you got?
So quick question for you guys. Do you think Bill Belichick's post-game conference was nothing more than him tuning his own horn and patting himself on the back?
So was he beaming again? I missed the Belichick postgame.
No, he's sick. If anything, it felt to me like he wanted to get the hell out of there. He's dealing with some sort of chest cold. It was evident from the first time you heard him talk.
Okay, but so then let me just ask you this: they're winning on defense and special teams. Do you think that gratifies him?
Yes.
Yeah.
For
sure.
I think Bill's digging it. He is.
I
looked at that. I wasn't in that one, but I looked at the quote sheet afterwards, and there were some questions that normally he would sort of like brush off went into like detail on. You know, questions about depth.
So you've given us quite a bit of stuff on, you think, you know, the tug of war out there.
Yeah.
And so they're winning with defense and special teams, and Brady's been de-emphasized. Do you think that helps explain why Bill has been giddy after these games and Brady not so much?
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah, I'll say it. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think part of it is just both these guys take a lot of professional pride in what they do, and Bill's coordinating the defense, and it's dominant. So I think that puts a pep in his step the same way, or conversely, the same way that Brady's been really down. So I'm not sure it's Bill saying I'm smiting Brady as much as the part he's overseeing is playing great, and he feels really good about it, and he likes these guys. I mean, he told Willie McGinnis that back in training camp, that he liked this defense. So I think he's enjoying that.
What do you think, Murray?
Oh, I think that there's still something there. And Belichick, I think it was the most evident, was after the Bills game, where he was downright giddy after that game, which was a rock fight. And, you know, after, juxtapose that to Brady, who after that game sounded like they lost and like his dog died. Listen, I think Belichick likes the fact that they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, there is that historic tug of war. I mean, there's no question. I've said this to you before, and I will say this. I mean, it does matter to Bill. You know, I definitely think it matters to Bill, sort of how history portrays it. And if anything that helps sort of put him in the light of being able to win without Tom Brady, or that it wasn't all about Tom Brady, or it wasn't about having the greatest quarterback of all time land in your lap and, a lottery ticket work out, I think he likes that. I think I do. Because he does care about the history of the game and ultimately how it's told.
And even I can admit, as much as I'm a Brady Bobo like Gasper,
used to be.
That's right. I got kicked out after last week.
You're out.
Yeah, now that I've turned
O-U-T
and said
out.
He should shut up about bitching about the wide receivers and the offense. But
it was the way you said it. It was a tonality issue.
From the Super Bowl to now, it's been more Bill than Tom.
But this whole thing about Bill caring about the narrative, I've always sort of dismissed, like, that feels like a little bit of a reach. He just wants
to win. Never came up on the boat?
Well, no, it didn't come up on the boat. But let me tell you what did come up on the boat. I've said this to you off the air. I do know from my previous experience, off the record things that I'm not going to bring onto the record. So this I did have some insight to. Bill cared deeply about the Belichick-Parcells thing. And he cared deeply about not just being attached to Parcells or his success was independent of Parcells. He used to, and I'm not going to give any details, but I know for a fact he used to know it, record it, recognize his record with Parcells and without Parcells, and Parcells' record with Belichick and without Belichick. This meant something to him, and I know there was a time where that meant something to him, and now it's just been blown out of the water, so it's like, you know, now he can sort of be conciliatory on the whole thing, but there was a time that he really cared. So if he cared about that,
of course,
why wouldn't he care about the thing now, people saying, well, you're just winning because of Brady?
He would.
And
if he wanted the numbers, all he has to do is get a hold of Allen Everett, for crying out loud, and he get the numbers of Parcells with and without. But are you telling me last night when they blocked that punt and Winovich caught it and ran in that Bill had to restrain himself from like grabbing a stick of butter and rubbing it all over his body, for crying out loud? Like, as soon as that happened, I went, this defense, this special team, it's unbelievable. Two block punts now?
I mean, the offense.
Two block punts for touchdowns. You're getting a defensive score every week. Bill is sitting there. Seriously, that is like real, you know, up-to-the-minute live porn for him standing on the sideline watching that.
I just about to say, what's interesting on a team with Tom Brady, that's 6-0, the offense is by far the weakest of the three units.
And so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I think Bill maybe even embraces it. How do you feel about it out there? How does Tommy feel about it? Doesn't feel like he's so hot on the idea. Mike in the truck, what do you got for us, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion. Why does it seem like they can pick up an undrafted defensive player and plug him in and make him look like a stud, but they can't find a couple of receivers and do the same thing? We keep talking about bringing in a veteran guy. Well, for the price of one veteran guy that may or may not work, they could pick up a handful of Jacoby Myerses and give them a chance, and at least you know they're going to give you everything they have because they still have something to prove.
Mike, I'm with you, kind of. I mean, it's a little different. There's more coordination needed between a quarterback and receiver. Like, that's sort of obvious. But I'd like to see Brady. I mean, I don't know what Myers has to do. I mean, it's great catches last night, and I'm telling you, some instinctive football plays. You know, the back shoulder to adjust to the ball like that is a veteran sort of move. And did you notice how when he caught the ball over his helmet, he raised it?
So yeah, I did.
Defensive back didn't poke it.
That's a good play.
Yeah, that's sort of like an advanced sort of move there. Hopefully that earns more trust from Brady and gives him more of a look.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. The only thing I'd say is just tangentially, just for me watching it in the past, you know, sometimes with Myers, it's if he's not feeling like he's going to get the football, the route gets rounded off, or it's kind of like sloppy, or it's not, you know, really distinct. And so I've noticed that a little bit, and maybe that's part of it for Tom. You know, go back to that play, I think, was it in the preseason, where, like, he really sort of needed to keep the play alive, and, like, Myers should have kept going, and he didn't. He just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of those things where it's like, okay, are we on the same page? Like, are you going to run your – because to go back to the spacing thing, if you're not going to run your routes precisely, that not only takes you out of it for me as a quarterback to throw it to you, but it allows somebody else to cheat over. It sort of messes up the spacing of the whole offense. So that's the only thing I'd say on Myers.
Maz?
So, look, I just think...
You got a look on your face.
Yeah, because I think that the caller initially said, why aren't they able to integrate players on offense like they do on defense? Why can Bill do it?
Yeah.
Right? Well, maybe on offense, it's not Bill. Maybe it's Brady. I mean,
it's definitely Brady.
Right, so this is the point, though, right? Is that on the one hand, Brady is... You can understand how they ended up here. You know, Chris said last night, it's been 2 years at the receiver position. Meanwhile, Belichick's looking at it going, no, Tom, it hasn't been two. It's been 10. Because every time we bring in a guy, you freeze him out. So how many guys do you want me to bring in? You want me to give up a first-round pick for a guy and bring him in here, and then it doesn't work? You want me to start rattling off the names, Tom, of guys we've given up assets for and it doesn't work? Should we do that? Or how long it takes for you to develop trust in a receiver? So, like, I can understand it from both points of view, which is why they are where they are. On the one hand, Tom's going, you're not giving me anything. On the other hand, Bill's saying, every time I give you something, you freeze him out.
But do you think Brady wanted Brandon Cooks gone? Do you think that was his call?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, no. The guys who can play, I feel like, you know, some of the guys that brought in who can play, he's not, you know, Chad Ochocinco, was he begging for him to come? No, of course not. But, I mean, I don't feel like the guys that they've brought in here that could play, you know, Tom was like, oh, you know, get rid of this guy.
I'm just saying, Chris, that I think Brady is impatient.
Oh, I would agree with that.
He's impatient. And so Belichick looks at it and says, Tom, you want me to bring these guys in? It takes a while. You got to build it. Meanwhile, now you're not even coming to minicamp or OTAs. Or you're not coming to OTAs, not minicamp. He comes to minicamp. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can see where they'd get territorial.
But is it his, you know, Kenny Britt, Michael Floyd, Corey Coleman, Eric Decker, Dontrell Inman. Like, you know, the list goes on. Like, these guys, did these guys flame out because Brady was impatient? Or are these just the wrong guys? I would say those guys were the wrong guy. Torrey Holt at the end. Reggie Wayne doesn't want to practice the Patriot way. Like, are these Tom's? These aren't Tom's fault. These guys, it feels, here's what I'd say. The position in general to Bill, to me, feels like an afterthought. And that's part of the problem. And I could see where Tom would get annoyed by that. It's like, oh, yeah, we got to pick up some receivers. You know, okay, this guy's at the end of his career. Well, you know, this guy's available. Let's bring him in and see if Jordan Matthews, let's see if he sticks. Like, the whole thing's an afterthought. It's sort of like, Tom, Josh, you guys figure it out. We're not really going to invest in this.
I can see it. So is he just worried about him and his offense? Because the team is in great shape. The defense is taken care of. The special teams are terrific. The road is there. His coach is the best in the league. So, yep, he's been left a little high and dry. Not a little. He's been left high and dry at receiver. But everything else is great. So is he just concerned about his little bubble, his little fiefdom there?
I think there's a degree of professional pride. And I would also say if you're saying he's impatient, which he's been, then I think you have to be a little patient with him because he has carried this team pretty much since 2007. So he's used to doing it a certain way. So maybe he feels like, well, let's see a little more of this because who have we played? What quarterbacks have we really played? This isn't a showdown between me and Peyton Manning every week for the defense. At some point, we're going to be needed. I'm going to be needed. And I don't know if we can do it.
No.
So it might take him a little time to adjust back. You know what I'm saying?
I'm prepared to let him work out his little fit.
I wouldn't say it's a fit.
How long is this going to take now? Because we've been at it for like 3-4 weeks of this little pity party.
I think he's starting to come out of it.
Do? Really? Do.
Yeah, because he made that comment last night about the young guys and, you know.
He was forced to after this thing. Again, give me the pregnant pause, Jimmy. Do you hear this? You could drive a truck through this pause to this question. If we could.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
One, two, three, four. Five.
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get 7-0. So thank you guys. Appreciate it.
He couldn't hightail it out of there fast enough.
Just from looking at the audio file, that's 10 seconds of silence between everything.
We'll see.
Well, you know, he does like to get out of there quick on the night games. Well, it's his family.
Why was the 10-second pause? He's still working his way out. I'll give him some time, but, you know, just let me know when we're finally going to clear out of this.
At least he acknowledged, though, that the young guys are trying instead of throwing his tight ends under the bus like he did earlier.
Well, was he wrong about Izzo? Did you see the game?
No, that guy.
I mean, was
stinks.
He wrong? Is he wrong? Is he wrong?
I'm talking about earlier in the week.
I'm just saying, in general, is he wrong?
Nope.
I see, this is the one thing I said to you guys in this email. I know we're up against it, but he is done. They gave him the poo-poo platter, and I think he's done being good soldier. I'm going to cover for what they've done around me. He's done with that. So that's why you get the pause, because he's not going to rip them, but he's also not going to say like, well, you know, I think what we have is ultimately good enough, because he doesn't feel that way. So I think he's done lying. At this point of his career, he's done just pretending it's all okay.
When you say poo-poo platter, is that P-U-P-U or is that P-O-O-P-O-O?
On that note, do we have a Gasper and Murray extravaganza tomorrow?
Yeah, only for 2 hours, 11 to 1, because the Revs playoff game.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, surprise.
Go Revs.
Listen to Gasper and Murray tomorrow at 11. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
More your thoughts on last night and the state of the team after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, it's...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
2 second and 12. White to the right of Brady. Three receivers right. Shot bends down to play fit. Brady stands in. Pressure on the blind side. He's hit. Ball is loose. It's going to be picked up by Golden at the 40. 35-30. Marcus Golden, 25-20. Right to the 10. And he's tackled by Josh Gordon as he stretches out the football to break the plane. Touchdown, New York.
Nice block.
Scoop and score.
Nice block by the tight end on that left side.
Patriots with team score. The Giants.
I mean,
the blind side sack.
Max protect. Keep the tight end in. A tight end can't even block the backside. Yeah, guys down all over the place. And no room for Ben Watson here.
That was one of the lowlights from last night. The strip sack, scoop and score against Brady. Going over that play, I blame the coaches for putting Izzo out there on the edge against a pass rusher. Gasper says, really should have been getting help from Shaq Mason or one of the other offensive linemen. They had six offensive linemen against four rushers. So you're max protecting. The idea is not to have a tight end, a young tight end who's bad at blocking, go one-on-one with an, you know, outside pass rusher. So there was clearly a miscommunication or whatever the case may be. That was not meant to be. And so whether that's coaching, offensive lineman made a mistake, whatever, I hardly blame Ryan Izzo because he's second year. He's not good out there. He shouldn't be asked to block a guy like that in space one-on-one.
I mean, he's the least culpable person on the play. So to me, given that he was out there on an island, I had to believe that it was a player screw up. That, you know, look, they're human, but there's no way Belichick is leaving Tom Brady's blind side protected by Ryan Izzo. There's just no way. You know, somebody on the line had to blow it. He said it was Mason, right?
Yeah.
Said, yeah. You know, somebody blew it. I just assumed it was Newhouse because he seems to screw everything else on.
But they had three guys blocking one inside and Izzo one-on-one with this 59. That's not... Don't tell me that's how they drew it up.
No, of course. It still would have been nice if the 20-year quarterback who has the answers to the test had sensed that someone was coming.
Ooh, that's a shot.
I just, you know, that play bugged me because, again, he looked like a rookie on that play. He did. I'm not telling you the protection was good because it wasn't. But part of, if you're going to sit there and tell me you have the answers to the test, and Brady's got great sense of when pressure is closing in.
Get rid of the ball.
Or protect it. One or the other. You know, you can't get rid of it in time, then you gotta cover it up and cover it up. You can't just let it spit out like that.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Here's Danny in Taunton. Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Phony Michelle. I mean, coming out of Georgia, I was big on him. I thought I was a big fan of the first-round pick, but I think now we're better off going with James White full-time because this guy can't break a tackle. I mean, every time first contact, he's going down. I mean, the guy, he's average.
Yeah, Dan, you can't go James White full time. He won't hold up.
Then use the kid you drafted in the third round, who was a healthy scratch again yesterday. I just don't understand what they're doing with Damian Harris. It's starting to make me crazy.
I mean, doesn't he have to play next week now after what we saw from Michelle last night?
And I'll say for the 10th time, at least just to get Sony Michelle's attention, we will give your touches to someone else unless you start putting your nose down there a little bit.
So I'll tell you, it's one thing if they're not running the ball well. It's another thing if their back is not running hard. And so last night, to me, if I'm Belichick, it would have put me over the edge. If Michelle is not going to put his shoulder down and try to get an extra half yard to a yard, particularly on 4th and 1, where I think on that play he got easily tripped up. Like, that's what it felt like to me. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right.
On the 4th and 1 play, let alone the first down play at the beginning of the fourth quarter where he ran left and got pushed back 2 yards by a defensive back. Like, I just look at that and say, well, if you're not going to fight for the yardage, why are you even on the field?
Kevin in the car on Brady. What do you think, Kev?
Hey, so do you guys think that this talent on this roster right now could win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
So are you worried that Brady's diva act lately is going to ruin that?
So, no, not long term, Kevin. No. So what I'm saying is, don't tell me that they're in December with games on the line to secure the bye or going into the playoffs, and he's still going to be carrying on like this. I refuse to believe that.
No, I don't believe that either. I think part of the reason he's allowing himself to get frustrated now is because he knows he can. You know, they can get away with it, bad competition. And so, but it's not like he's going to show up for practice the next time they're on the field and give up. He's not wired that way.
I mean, truly, when you get to the end of the year and it is just survive and advance and win, he's not going to be. Then I think he won't care about his numbers or whatever it is that he's caring about right now. That sort of goes to the sideline, and it's all about that 7th ring. So I think at the end of the day, he'll be there. He'll be on board. I'm just surprised it's taking as long as it has, frankly. I'm surprised. We've got Mike in Nashua. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Listen, going back to this roster being good enough to win a Super Bowl, I was noticing something at the game last night. Doesn't this feel more like the 03 and 04 Patriots that were maybe more defensive balanced? Because to me, those two teams, it's not like the offense didn't produce, but there were some weeks that I remember years ago where the defense kind of carried us. I don't know. My thought is just that's how this team is going to win this year.
Yes. Okay. But Mike, that's the only similarity in that you're defense first. You were defense first from 01 through 07. And then it flipped. And now it's flipped back. So that's a fair analysis. But that's where it ends with 03, 04. 03, 04 had so much more talent, it's not even funny. Now, your defense, all told, like collectively, the way they're coordinated, the way they play together is outstanding and is, in some respects, playing as well as they did in 03, 04. But the personnel in 03 and 04 was just, I think, vastly superior.
Yeah, I mean, they how many, you know,
Hall of Famers.
Hall of Fame caliber players.
Yeah, right? Hall of Famers across the board, whether they're going to make it or not, from Seymour and Will Fork are going to make the Hall of Fame. Okay, so your defensive line was Warren, Will Fork, Seymour. Two of them are going to make the Hall of Fame. Your linebackers were Bruschi, Pfeiffer, Johnson, Vrabel, Colvin. Okay, McGinnis is a borderline Hall of Famer. He'll get some consideration, but outstanding. Your corners were Ty Law and Asante Samuel. Ty Law's already in. Your safety was Rodney Harrison and Eugene Wilson. Eugene Wilson was the one guy that you would say doesn't belong. The 10 of the 11, first-round picks, Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, studs. Rodney Harrison played the safety position those 2 years as well as I've ever seen it played. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You don't have that now. What you have now is a group that plays really well together and is, you know, the coordination, whether it's Bill Belichick, Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo, whatever, they're playing at a great level. But the talent back in those days was better.
I mean, I don't know that you can match the talent they had back then. But this defense, oh, they give you no space. I mean, there's no space. It's really, it's fun to watch. It really is. Because they tackle really well. They get their hands on you, which is why that running play in Washington was so surprising. They get their hands on you, you're going down.
The defense has given up 2 plays all year.
Really, yeah.
And only 1 bad one. The Washington, you know, touchdown last week was a bad play.
And that thing last night was a 50-50 ball.
Well, it was, yeah.
Jonathan Jones was all over him.
He was right there.
He deflected the ball. Now, maybe you get on Harmon for not making the tackle downfield. Maybe that's, you know, but Jonathan Jones was stride for stride right in Tate's kitchen and got his hand on the ball.
Right.
So, like,
Could have very easily been an incompletion.
So the defense has been outstanding, and that's how you're winning. And I asked 3 weeks ago, can we all handle it? And I don't feel like we're handling it very well. Joe in Portland. Hi, Joe.
It's Phil, actually.
Okay, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, thanks for the call. But I was just giving some concern about, you know, Sony Michel. They got to feed that guy or something. You know, he's running uphill. He's not running downhill. You know, he's just not getting to the line fast enough from what I've seen, you know.
Someone needs to tell me what he does well. Does he have plus burst? Does he have plus speed? Is he plus physically? Is he plus elusiveness? Is he plus size? Is he, or his hands plus? I'm pleased with his hands. He did have a drop last night on a tough catch over his head. But he looks fluid in the passing game. I'll give him that. But he's not a plus. He's not like, tell me what he...
You know, Gasper used the word electric, and that's what he looked like when he was at Georgia. And maybe it's the knee injury. I don't know, but he ain't that.
Even last year, I'd say the same thing. I think last year, even when he was running well, he and Devlin had a good thing going. But I still didn't say, ooh, look at that breakaway speed, or look at that elusiveness. Like Deion Lewis, when he was here, undersized, and he ain't Earl Campbell, but he had plus elusiveness. He made guys miss. Jukes, spins, like those dipsy
like a
do.
Little water bug.
Yeah, it was tremendous. So, you know, he made people miss. I could tell you that skill. Or Corey Dillon would run you over. Like, he had plus physicality. Where's Michelle's plus? James White is a plus receiver, right? Clearly plus receiver.
No, he's just kind of a guy.
Well, what's Jay Wright? I mean, he's just another running back.
Yeah, I you got me. I told you I'm starting to end up back where I was when this whole thing began. And I don't think he's a complete suckbag. Okay, so that was unfair. Like, for me to say that he was a complete suckbag, but there is, the more I watch this guy last night again, I'm tilting back to where I was at the very beginning.
It's really one of the great sports takes of this station's history.
And you mentioned Sony Michel. He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
And you
got shamed into oblivion.
And you shamed into walking it back. And you got shamed into sort of apologizing.
Hmm.
And who knows, Maz? Were you right?
I'm telling you, usually my instincts are good. Usually my instincts are good. I should have stuck with it. I should have. Instead, I listened to all you a-holes who told me I was being too hard on a guy. What a mistake.
Murray, give us an update.
You mentioned Sony Michel. He sucks. He blows. That guy's...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Jones takes the snap. Patriots with a blitz. And a throw to the right. Caught in the flat by Hillman. Jamie. Nowhere to go. Jamie Collins is there. Ooh. Ball came loose. Picked up by Van Noy. To the 10, to the 5. Ooh. Diving to the pylon.
Touchdown.
They're going to say he's out of bounds. They're going to say he stepped out at the 2.
What is a catch and a fumble?
The boogeyman.
Fourth takeaway.
Boogeyman defense. This linebacking crew, unbelievable. Unbelievable read by Jamie Collins. Gets through the tackle. Forces another fumble. And then scoop and score, Van Noy. He thought he was in.
Kyle Van Noy launching, reaching out with the right hand and hitting the pylon. On his dive to the corner.
Never
Van
stepped
Noy,
out.
That should be a touchdown the way we see it.
The ruling on the field of the runner out of bounds is under further review.
We return after a replay review. Indeed, it's a touchdown for Kyle Van Noy. The difference is now 27-14.
one of the highlights of the game. The scoop and score by Van Noy. Thank God he hung on to the ball. Said it earlier.
Defense is fun to watch, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. That was a really athletic play by him to get in. But as I said before, I think Bill is, and Van Noy mentioned this after the game, Bill, because Bill's smart and the Patriots are smart, they are not one of these teams that extend the ball at the goal line trying to get 6 points when it's first and goal at the 1 foot yard line. Because if you fumble it there and it goes out of bounds, you don't get it back at the one. It's a touchback. We've seen this enough. But how many teams do you see a guy trying to score, reaching out, exposing the ball, slips out of his hands, falls through the end zone. Now you have a touchback. For the other team, you lose the ball. And so Van Noy extended it there, and he got the pylon, but he mentioned it after the game. That's all I was thinking about, because Bill was going to be mad at me if I didn't hang on to that ball.
Oh, no, he knew it. Yeah, he knew it.
Bill's smart. I'm glad.
It was a risky play, but he made it.
So anyway, we'll wrap it up with your call. See if we can zip through all 7 lines here. Maybe call this something like, I don't know, Jimmy, got a name for it? What do we call this?
I would call it a lightning round.
Oh, there we go. Evan in Topsfield. Lead us off, Evan. Go.
Hey, how you doing? Quickly. Listen, take yourself out of the football realm and into your fields. You guys are both journalists, right? Somebody coming into the fold, you're going to want to vet them pretty carefully at the beginning. And in fact, you're going to make it harder for them because you want to see what's going to make them crumble. You want to put him under that duress. Is he a quitter? Or is he going to tough it out? Like both those guys, Myers and the other guy, the Gunner guy, I forget his name.
Yeah, Gunner Olszewski. So you're saying Brady's putting him through, he's testing him.
Basic training.
Come on. Wouldn't you do the same? You know, in my industry, I'm not going to tell my industry. But okay.
Evan, on paper, I can see that. I mean, I can see that being of value if you're doing that on paper. I don't feel like Brady's doing that. I feel like he's stomping his feet and kind of whining. Is what I feel like he's doing.
Yeah, he's been used to filet mignon, and now he feels like he's dealing with, you know, chopped liver or whatever. Like these guys aren't on the level of what he expects, especially at tight end with having had Rob Gronkowski here for the last decade.
So there are a lot of things that explain it, but I can't accept the fact that Brady's testing them.
I mean, yeah, it's hazing.
I mean, come on.
So here's another
come
thing.
On. Tom's upset because he doesn't have the weapons he wants, and in a lot of ways, he's right. But, like, let's not spin it into he's testing them and making them better.
And what was the story with those quarterback sneaks? Ball game's over, 2-touchdown lead, 3 minutes left. You have the ball at their 4-yard line. 4. And Brady's putting his head down.
What do you think it was?
And quarterback sneaking. So, who knows, right? But to me, like, there's some sort of ancillary reason that's going through his head. And right. Is he pissed at the offensive line because they can't get a yard with Sony Michel? Is he pissed at Sony Michel? Is he pissed that they just can't pick up a yard, and so I'm going to do this myself? Is he trying to prove to everyone, well, you don't give me anyone to throw to, so I'm going to go get it myself? Or is it just like, sometimes when you're frustrated, you just pop yourself in the head. I'm going to get it myself. And just like that sort of thing.
I think it's the second to last thing. If I can't throw for touchdowns because I'm surrounded by crap, I'm going to run them in myself, and I'm still going to get those touchdowns.
See, I think it's everything before the last two. I think it's, you know what? You guys all suck. I'm just going to run it in. I clearly can't count on any of you right now. I can't count on the O-line. I can't count on the coaches or the GM. I can't count on the running back other than Bolden, who runs hard and runs forward. Well, you know, and I say but in terms of the short yardage, I can't give it to Sony because he falls down if someone breathes on him. So you know what? Tell you what, Ted, me and you go up there when I squeeze your ass, snap the ball. Mason, close the gap, and we'll get the touchdown and get the hell out of here.
So it was technically at the 3. I thought they were at the 4. The game book says 3. But either way, that was unusual. So what the hell is that?
Was that 2 sneaks in a row?
Yeah.
2 plays in
bang,
a row.
Bang, bang.
Yes.
We've seen that from the 3.
Yeah.
So he became the oldest player in NFL history to rush for 2 touchdowns. Don't tell me that was on his radar. And also someone else said, and I, again, this must have been the one part that I missed in that wretched, embarrassing, rubbish pregame show on Fox. But I guess Gronkowski did say that Tommy's going to score one or he's going to go over for one. But he had already scored. So I don't know why he's fulfilling Gronkowski's stupid prediction. But what the hell was that about, those late quarterback sneaks? Chris and Raynham, what the hell was that about?
Hey, guys, 2 things. You guys are completely discounting that Panthers Super Bowl earlier a few years back.
Discounting it how?
What a role that Brady had. You're gushing over this defense, and Brady is the one that led that whole game. That defense had an Eagles-like collapse that year in that Super Bowl against Jake Delhomme, who is just as bad, but you're obsessed with that defense. Brady won that Super Bowl, not that defense.
If they lose that Super Bowl, everything is different. Second point.
Okay, so no. Just settle, young man.
Brady did have a good game that day. He also threw a pick in the end zone. But
it was 03 and not 04. It was the 2003 season. And that was also the year. Was that the year they picked off Peyton Manning four times?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know, Chris. I thought the defense was pretty decent that year. It was okay. The 04 team, I think, was the greatest of all time. When I talk 03, 04, I'm really more to 04 than 03, but I do put them together. But I think that 03 defense was pretty good, Chris. Okay, next.
And let me get to my other point. The fact is, you guys, 4 days ago, were saying, why doesn't Brady QB sneak anymore? That seems like something he's lost from his repertoire. Maybe he doesn't want to get hurt. Maybe he doesn't want to get hit at this age. Then, a few days later, he does it several times to the benefit of the team, and it worked out for him in a game that he had only had 10 incompletions, few hundred yards, and two rushing touchdowns, and you bash him. You guys are seeing him through a lens of something that you don't want to see. Every time he does something, you're taking it and spinning it to a negative. All of the issues with this team are on Belichick.
All the issues are on Belichick. You mean the best defense in the league and all of that?
The offensive issues. All the offensive issues. You guys said all year that they were going to lack weapons. And well, then when they're lacking weapons, you're putting it on Brady.
No. I'm not blaming him for it, Chris. I'm not. I don't like the way he's carrying himself. You're misconstruing that. I think Brady kind of deserves the excuses.
He does. Yeah, he's got a lot. There are a lot of things there that he's right about.
The offensive line is a mess. He's been given young, inexperienced receivers, and so that's affecting his play. He deserves that excuse. I don't like the way he's throwing those kids under the bus, and I don't like the way he's carrying himself. I don't think he's carrying himself as a great team guy, because the team is great, and he's sort of pouting about his individual situation. But his beefs are, like, they're based in legitimacy. You've never heard me say that.
So they're short. For him, they're short.
So, Chris, you're right. The offensive shortcomings are personnel-related. No question. Personnel-related. Yep. I mean, also underperformance. Sony Michel is underperforming. But they're personnel-related. They're not Brady's. Brady's still fine. He's still great. But it is true. He did say during the week, what happened to the quarterback sneak?
Yeah, no, it's true. On fourth and one, I'd just as soon have him sneaking.
Yeah.
Especially after watching.
Do you think he's listening and he wants to do a little bruh?
Who, Brady?
Yeah.
I'd be into that, sure. I mean, he used some of the sound in the Tom versus Time thing before, so.
Oh, that's true. They didn't they?
You want me to quarterback sneak?
I mean, I don't think he's allowed to do it, but I would tell him 617-779-0985.
I can't quarterback sneak, huh? Why don't you suck on this from the three? Oh, I can't quarterback sneak, Maz? Why don't you sniff this? Two rushing touchdowns, oldest person ever to do it. Bleh.
Could be it. I wouldn't rule it out.
But it is true. We did say, where's a quarterback sneak? I just
didn't want seven of them.
No, right.
Right.
There were six of them. And the one to just quarterback sneak it yourself in from the three, or I still think it's the four, but that, you have to admit, is a little unusual.
Yeah, it just felt gratuitous. And going back to the game against the Redskins, too, I'd like it rather than a stupid play call by Josh McDaniels where you're trying to hand off to, the direct snap to James White when he's like 10 yards behind the play.
Okay, I've done a bad job with the lightning round. Got to be quick. Mike in Framingham, go.
Hey, how are we doing, guys? So I was kind of developing this thought. I wonder what you guys thought about it. So obviously Brady's had a down year, and I was just wondering if maybe at the beginning of the season, Belichick kind of tried to put the offense on his shoulders and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to...
Well, so Mike, I'm sort of cut you off. Your comment line says Brady's upset at himself. I don't feel that way. I feel he's upset with what he's been surrounded by. And it's always on the quarterback. I mean, in most good teams, it's going to be on the quarterback. So I'm sorry, you really can't escape that one. You know, you're throwing in this league, you know, it's 60-40 usually, pass to run. So the quarterback's got to be heavily involved. There's no way around it. We've got Bo in Saugus. Yes, Bo?
Yeah, so it is greedy to criticize the franchise. But Belichick, as a drafting general manager since 2011, has not hit on a skill position player. Understanding that they're drafting towards the bottom of the first round, but he's yet to really add any value to the offensive side of the ball from the skill position side.
Bo, let me stop you. Since 2011, have they drafted a good skill position
player? So what year was White?
White was since then.
Yeah, I mean, James White's a good skill position
Definitely.
Player.
So there's one.
I mean, I'm just looking at the list real quick here. Do you count Garoppolo?
Ha ha.
Okay. I'm being a half-wise, but
keep it to wide receivers, running backs. You know, come on.
I mean, it might be James White. That might be it.
So it's a fair point. They have not targeted that at the draft. They have not hit on that at the draft. It's true. Matt in Hanover. Hi, Matt.
Mike, grab your Schmenzer and a tinfoil hat because I got a take that's hotter than Bob Stoci coming out of the tanning
bed. Let's go, Matt.
October 29th is the trading deadline. What if I told you there's a deal in place that explains everything? Bennett will be back to Philadelphia, and with the money they free up from Bennett, they already have a deal in place to bring in Keenan Allen.
Do you have sources on this, Matt, or you just came up with this yourself?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, I like it. Okay, so why are the Chargers giving up on Keenan Allen?
He's got 2 years left. They're 2-3, and basically they're going down the drain. They're going to fire their GM and their head coach.
Okay, Matt. Promising. That guy's a stud.
Oh, I love him. He's good.
I'd take him. He's another guy that, you know, I don't watch him a ton, but what I have seen, there's route running there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of toughness there.
Catches the ball in traffic.
Yeah, exactly. I'd take him.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love Keenan Allen. I just have a hard time believing that one's real.
Okay. Mark the tape. Tom and Quincy, you got to be quick, man.
Hey, what's up? Hey, real quick, that last guy that called about the Keenan Allen thing, real quick, Mike, on his toughness. He played with, like, a lacerated kidney.
Yeah.
So let's get that out of the way. As far as the Pats D, this is effing ridiculous what they're doing, right? But the rest of the league is saying, well, the Pats have had no competition. Well, the top five defenses in the league right now have played roughly the same type of teams. So, and you know me, I'm not one for notes, but I did go back and look at some stuff. But listen, they're so far and above even the 49ers, who the other undefeated team, that's almost 7 points a game. It's just, they're out of control right now.
Exactly, Tom. I have to cut you off. And that's the point. They're beating these bad opponents. You know, they're not just beating these bad opponents, which they should. They're completely stifling them. I mean, they've given up two plays all year, essentially. Two plays. Bad one in Washington, and last night was tightly contested, and, you know, sometimes you got to tip your cap. And that's it for the entire year. So not just beating these teams, they are completely stifling them.
I mean, if you put it in these terms, I can't really think of any plays where they were out of position.
So the Washington touchdown, I don't know, they weren't out of position. You're right.
They just missed the tackles.
Yeah, they were half asleep.
No, so they maybe they gave up 10 yards on the play, but it should have been 10. That's it, not 60. And on the play last night, Jones was there.
Okay, we're late on the final word. What do we got this week, Stu? Fresh material?
We have a combo that's fresh. And if we would like to, we can look back in the time machine with a squeaky Maz on the Dodgers.
Okay, freshies and best of if we want to do it. That's next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, we have a combo, Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz here, put together by Hardy.
From this week, what could it be? Give me a hint.
Well, it's on a certain grumpy quarterback.
Okay, good. Brady Bashan.
Oh, I know what it is.
Go.
Brees is number one all-time in yards. Manning is two, and Brady's about to pass Peyton Manning.
Correct.
Who gives a poop?
You got me.
I don't know the number. I don't know the list. I don't care. when you talk about quarterbacks, I don't look at those.
The other thing is that I think the caller was talking about touchdown passes.
When who leads that list? I don't know. I don't care.
Who cares who passes him first?
How do we ever look at Brady that way? Touchdown passes in the season. Brady said it in 07, and then did Manning beat him that year? He was all jacked up on HGH or whatever with the Broncos?
Yeah, he threw 55.
Okay, neat. Like, I don't even know the numbers. Do you?
No.
No.
Why has that become a story all of a sudden?
Well, remember, the 1,000 yards rushing obviously mattered because he went forward.
No facts. So I ask you, was that for the New England Patriots or is that for TB12?
You're preaching to the choir here. Don't look at me.
Well, you just go like that's his ego.
It is his ego.
It's not. It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not. His company is money, dollars and cents.
Here comes the Felgren Maz who's on first argument again.
It's ego.
It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
It's not. Don't you get it?
No.
No.
I love that. very good, Hardy. Thank you.
And let's go back and relive a squeaky Maz on the Dodgers.
Can we eliminate any doubt now that Clayton Kershaw is a choking dog?
Okay.
Really, Mike? 1-5 with an ERA over 5 in his postseason career. 1-5. Did you guys see that home run yesterday?
Yes.
Yep.
Tell me that wasn't the worst piece of crap curveball you've ever seen thrown.
That was a cookie.
In that situation. What a garbage pitch that was. So how does a guy who has his ability, coming on his time of year, and his age, throw that pitch at that time? It doesn't add up.
How do you feel about that whole team?
First of all, I root against them every year. It's a team that has a lot of talent and no hype, which reminds you a little of, I don't know, the 2011 Red Sox, maybe? Huh? You beat all the crap-bag teams during the regular season because you're just better than they are. But when it comes to nut-cutting time, and you actually have to have something beyond talent to win, they can't win.
You can't win!
How do you feel about that manager?
I'm not a huge Mattingly fan, and the more I watch him, the more I think that I don't understand how he still has a job. To not be able to get to the World Series and really win it with that team, to me, is a reflection partly on the manager. They've gotten up to some bad starts in some of these years. They go through periods where they're comatose. To me, that's on the manager. And can we eliminate any doubt now that Clayton Kershaw is a choking dog? Huh?
And it's only gotten worse.
Yep.
Seriously, though, right?
Stands up.
I mean, again, hard to find a guy with that kind of success in the regular season as a losing record in the playoffs.
That was Beadle in there, 2011, something like that. That take.
That was an oldie.
Holds up. Jones and Arcander standing by for what now?
We got an hour taking you up until the Celtics here tonight. A little preseason action for you. So we'll have to condense our views on the Patriots, their victory last night. Nice offense, I thought, that the Patriots had. You guys, by the way, driving in. Listening to you about Sony Michel, like James White gets stuff behind the line of scrimmage. Oh, I hate the play call. Where's the blocking on that one? Oh, Sony Michel gets stuffed, and it's like, oh, is Sony Michel tough enough? Can he run? What's wrong with Sony Michel? When was the last time Bill had a better first-round pick than Sony Michel?
Oh, you're still defending the running back.
Let me think about that.
But this is true. This is
Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones.
I mean, I would just say Sony Michel wasn't great last night. I'm not saying that. Just.
No, but this is two-pronged.
They have not hit on a lot of first-round picks lately.
This is a good twofer for your defending machine.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.